Stick around at the end of the show. Stick around till the end. We're going to play her ex-boyfriend's porn. Just kidding.
Yeah.
all right, guys. You guys ready for your next comic?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. He's very funny. You've seen him on the Joe Rogan Experience, on the Adam Carolla Show. Everybody make your reel out for Greg Fitzsimmons.
Hey. Hey now.
What up?
Yep. How are you? This is not this background. If you're watching me, here's where my career is at in the first quarter second quarter of 2021. I'm sitting in the office of a pizza place where I'm about to do stand-up comedy in the parking lot in Ventura, California.
This is where we're at. Give me your.
I muted him.
Do you want me to tell? I'm going to tell jokes for a little while, right? Then we're going to talk?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. We're out of it. I think we're out of it. It's all over. Apparently, we're back to normal. And you know, the worst thing about the COVID so far is, like, at least with AIDS, you know, because I lived through AIDS. I mean, I didn't have AIDS, but I mean, I was around. I lived through the experience of AIDS. And at least with AIDS, you had some fun catching it. You know, you had some sex or you shot some heroin. There was a good story. Now it's just like a fat guy coughs on you at a Panda Express, you go home and die. There's nothing, nothing fun about that. And I was thinking about, like, what if you got it bad? What if you got COVID? And I'm talking, like, doctor sends you home, says, lock the door, don't let anyone in, you're going to die. And that's heavy. And all you'd be thinking, as I'm sure everybody in this Zoom call is thinking, is, I just want to get laid one more time. That's all you want, right?
Yeah.
So you fuck the dog. Now, hold on. Hold on. Not hard. Not hard. And you get into bed that night. You know, you go to sleep. Usually the dog jumps up on the bed with you and you cuddle. That night he kind of hangs on the floor like, no, I'm good. I'm good. A little weird lately. And so you wake up in the morning and you realize all of your symptoms are gone. You feel 100% and you realize you've discovered the cure for COVID-19. And now you have kind of a moral question ahead of you. Do you stay ashamed and quietly not tell anybody and watch millions die? Or do you hold a press conference and just be like, funny story. And then once you tell the world, good luck getting a dog. There'll be a run on the pet stores.
Yeah.
Pounds, line to get in. And the big ones will go first. Pit bulls, Rottweiler. You don't want to fuck a shih tzu. That feels wrong. So what else is going on? Oh, it's Girl Scout cookie season. Oh yeah. Those little whores are out there. Everywhere you look, anywhere they can set up a table, they're in your face selling those dried out overpriced cookies, and you buy them. I know people love them, but you're really doing it because you want to feel good about helping out the girls. And then you're walking through the Ralph's parking lot, you got an arm full of dosey doughs under your arm, and then a black teenager walks up to you, he's got a box full of Snickers bars, he's like, excuse me sir, will you help support my basketball team? And you're like, that's a fucking scam. That's bullshit. There's no basketball team. And you see the Girl Scout get into her dad's BMW with a fistful of cash. We fucked him again, Dad! We fucked him again!
Yeah.
Look, I would help out the Girl Scouts, except isn't the whole point of scouting is that they're supposed to be making stuff with their own hands? There's no little girls making these cookies. Well, there's no American girls making this cookie. I'm going to go out on that groan. That's it.
All right. Yeah. Greg Fitzsimmons, everybody. Keep it going. If you have, please send me your questions. Send them to Christopher John in chat. We'll start. I have a question, Greg Fitzsimmons. I just want to, I have an annoying question.
Yeah.
it's, what did you think about Tony Hinchcliffe thing?
Oh, poor Tony. Poor Tony. I mean, it's always tough right now because I think that there's two different camps of comedy that where there's probably a lot of camps of comedy, but one of them going on right now is the, what I call the uncancelables. And there's a certain, there's a certain comic that has his own audience, mostly through podcasting, but sometimes through just doing stand-up for so many years. And, you know, they will be dropped by their agents and their managers and all that stuff, but you're not going to stop a guy from going up and saying whatever he wants in crazy bars within with the kind of fans that expect, you know, anything to be said. So, you know, I think it's, I think there's always going to be a place for people to do whatever form of stand-up they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But thanks for putting me on the spot. We're really awkward question right out of the gate.
I know. I'm sorry. How about Vahe Hove? He's got a question.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Greg, I got an easy question. Thanks for being here, by the way, and doing this. I have an easier question. And it is that we had a student here earlier from UC Davis who was studying comedy, stand-up comedy. You know, it was like part of her class to see a show. And actually, I think she left already, so I don't know what that says about the show. But she's not here anymore. I wish she was. But I was going to say, like, what would you give advice to somebody who's, like, going to learning about comedy and stuff like that and just starting?
I would say withdraw immediately from your comedy class and take whatever money you were spending and get yourself a studio apartment in, you know, Denver, San Francisco, a place that has a vibrant stand-up community, and just hang out at shows every night, sleep till noon, find some way to pay the rent, you know, using your tuition. But, you know, I think you can say the same thing about any communications classes is it's you're not going to learn anything on that job that you're not going to learn a better version of by going to a workplace where they're using the most state-of-the-art equipment. If you go to a college, you're always using equipment from the last decade and professors that were really good at it 20 years ago. And so I don't know. I think that college is overused. I think there's other ways of going about it than that.
So you didn't go to comedy school? Any formal type of like arrangement?
Well, I went to clown school. But no, I didn't. I got an English major, and I think that helped me with my writing because I write for TV as well. I was glad I went to college. It was good, but you know, my dad paid for it, so I can't say I struggled.
That's true. Cool. We have another question from Michael Imond.
I love your podcast, Greg. I listen.
Thank you, Michael.
And I love your relationship. You always talk about your son and your daughter. I just wondered what kind of did your son's soccer career get cut short because of his injury? I wanted to know what's been happening with him.
Oh, no. Well, he finished out in high school. He finished out after the injury. He got rehabbed. And then went off to college, and he was gonna play for his college team, and then he decided that he wanted to, you know, college sports is like 40 hours a week. Isn't it unbelievable? They make you work 40 hours a week on a sport, and you know, granted, nobody watches soccer, but like football, 40 hours a week, and they take in $1 billion, and they don't play the play. So he's like, no, I'm just gonna party freshman year, and now next year he's going to go out for the soccer team. They already kind of scouted him. They saw him playing on an intramural team and they approached him, and then he's been working out with the team, and then he's going to play for them next year.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was there when he's had many injuries, but the last one was he headed the ball. He was right in front of the net and he headed it into the net, and a defender jumped in the air and tried to kick the ball before my son headed it, and kicked him directly in the nose and exploded his nose. He had to have surgery. It was really bad. Yeah, but he's got a little character to his face now.
Cool. We have another question from Victor Pacheco.
Hey, Hey, Greg, thanks for doing the show and thanks for being here.
You look like a Victor, by the way.
Thank you.
You look like if I saw you and I was writing a screenplay and I had to come up with a name, you're Victor.
You know how I know you're not racist? You didn't call me Miguel or Pablo, so that's cool. I appreciate
racist.
That.
Don't sell
No, I know you're not. I know you're not racist. No, we don't have anyone racist on the show. Audience members, yes, but comics, no. That wasn't my question at all. I apologize. Sorry. So my question is, I'm a big fan of the Church of What's Happening Now, and you've appeared on there several times. And I was wondering, is there ever any pressure for you to take edibles or smoke weed while you're with Joey Diaz?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And the same thing with Rogan. When I go on Rogan's show, he usually lights a fat one right before you start taping. And you know, with both those guys, you know, you might be on there for 2.5-3 hours. And so you get high at the beginning of it. And then about an hour and a half in, the high wears off. And now you're a fucking rutabaga. You're just staring straight ahead. And all you're thinking is, I just need a cup of coffee. I need some fresh air. And instead, you're talking conspiracy theories that you don't know anything about. And you just keep opening your eyes wide and going, yep, got it.
Do you make your own conspiracies while you're high, or do you just go, like, how do you go along with that? Like, you just make up your own bullshit while you go, or like,
well, you start coming up with the conspiracies about Joey, which is the things like, I don't think he's a human being. I think he was bred with a hippopotamus and a bomb. There's nobody that can ingest that much drugs and look like that and be 100% human.
Yeah, that's crazy. When he was going on his tour 56 and still slinging dick tour, he did not look 56. He looked like 76. I was like, holy fuck. I didn't know he was that young. I was like, oh my God, poor guy. But I also used to do coke too. I'm actually 22.
You're 22 and you have
no,
hair?
I'm 36. No, I'm 36. Jesus I'm 36. Christ. I'm 36.
I was gonna say, you look terrible.
I do look terrible, regardless of age. Thanks, Greg.
You should tell people that you're 22. You know, you should tell people you're 57, and then they'll be like, wow, man, you look great. Maybe even higher. You might have to go even higher.
I'll try it. I'll check it out.
I heard Victor. I think I heard Victor with that last one.
I'm high. Duh.
We have another question from a woman, but she won't turn her camera on because she says she's not wearing any makeup. Okay. So I'm going to ask you. I'm also not wearing any makeup. I'm sorry. she wants to know about you writing for Ellen.
Oh, well, I guess we lead with the Tony Hinchcliffe question, then we segue right into the Ellen question.
It was her question. I'm sorry. And I regret asking about Tony.
What does she want to know about Ellen?
She said, can you ask him about writing for Ellen?
That's a very broad question.
That is.
I mean, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't technically say anything about her. But I can tell you that I've read a lot of stuff that she's not a nice person. I have read that she is very cold and very judgmental and has a hint of cruelty. I've read that she doesn't like to be looked at. And I've read that if she didn't like the show the night before, she might actually shame and humiliate writers individually. I've read a lot. I can't say any of it firsthand. I've read that she actually is not as charitable as you would think she is on the show in terms of actually opening her own checkbook. Now that's, I can't remember if I read that one. But,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
Okay, cool. We have another question from Vahe.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for being here. And so I was watching videos on YouTube and I heard something kind of like that struck me about you, which was that you and Joe Rogan kind of started around the same time, and like you would do each other's jokes. What's up with, or was it just him doing your jokes and like I just wonder. Okay.
No, we were both like we started literally like the same week, and so we were going out just scrappy. We were just trying to get stage time anywhere we could get it. We were both so hungry to be comedians, and so this is back in Boston, and so we get in the car one night, we drive up to New Hampshire and do a gig in probably a pizza place. And then we'd go to Providence, Rhode Island the next night and do 5 or 10 minutes there. And, you know, without getting paid, just to get on stage. And then as we graduated, they started booking us to do longer shows, and to the point where we were having to do like a half an hour, and neither one of us had the time. And so we kind of had a gentleman's agreement that each guy could do the other guy's jokes. Gotcha. As well, if he was okay. Running out of material on stage.
Oh, and I got gotcha.
So, yeah. But you could kind of tell which were my jokes and which were his jokes.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, his are more about like fucking a pit bull with a, you know, and mine were like little wordplay. I was such a fucking clever little comedian when I started. I had a lot of wordplay. It was, yeah. I was so lame. And I just can never imagine Joe my jokes.
Yeah. I actually have tried to do some of Victor's jokes, but I'm not nearly fat enough.
No.
We're gray enough. <That's
true. laughs> I'm getting there. Okay.
Yeah, Vahe does a lot of wordplay jokes, so he's really hurt right now.
How many of the people that watch this are in San Francisco?
That's a good question.
Most people?
I think so.
Bay Area.
How about North?
Bay Area.
Bay Area. Sammy Sosa shook her head. She's not in San Francisco.
Oh, Washington State.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I heard about this show randomly.
Really?
Like beginning of the pandemic, it popped up on Facebook. So.
I know. I had two of my friends. My wife said two of our friends found out about the show and they watch it. People in Los Angeles.
Actually, yeah. That's not true. Sammy's a Christopher John stalker.
Yeah, that. Yeah. But that's because I found Best of Us.
They found otherwise, how would I have known?
Yeah, she comes here every week, and I sexually harass her, and she doesn't get upset. So,
yeah, that's how I know you're not all in San Francisco, then.
Okay.
Come visit sometime.
Vince has a question.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for taking the time to come and watch the show. My question is, you did some time with Howard Stern.
Yeah.
What was Howard Stern actually like working with?
Unbelievably generous, like a very accommodating, like he really hosted his show, you know, like it's not like Vahe. Like when Howard had you felt like you were, you know, no. No, he always was like, he'd ask about your family, and he would be just like the things he'd say about you on the air were very generous, but also off the air, he was like, couldn't thank you enough for coming on. And, you know, used to invite me to stuff, you know, invited me out to his house in the Hamptons. And like, we really were friends. And then, I asked him to write the foreword for my book, and things turned a little south.
The reason why I asked that question is through the communities, you get a positive negative of what you actually hear about Howard Stern and what really is true, what's not true.
Well, I think a lot of times when you're hearing from people, it's because they're no longer in his employ. Right. And so a lot of times there's bitterness. And so the stuff you hear is generally negative.
Right.
But I can tell you all of my dealings with him were just extreme gentlemen. And, you know, I think he created a good working environment for his employees. Obviously, you know, people leave jobs and people have to be let go, and they're going to be, and the staff there is, you know, it's not made up of like Harvard MBAs. You know, there's like it's a lot of flunkies that are taken on like orphans, like deranged orphans, and they're like, you know, they spend their entire careers on the show, and when it ends, they sometimes are flailing a little bit. So, yeah. You know, be careful who you're hearing it from.
Right. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I think we had one of those on last week, actually.
yeah.
Pretty much.
Really?
But yeah, Greg, we can be friends if you want. You can come stay at my house and stuff anytime.
You have a house in the Hamptons?
Well, not quite. No, it's an apartment in Walnut Creek.
Oh, it's an apartment in Walnut Creek. Yeah, well, whatever. Let's talk more about it.
Cool.
We got a question from Nupur.
Hi, Greg. So great to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Nupur.
So I'm a new kid on the block in this comedy world, and I have a really easy question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think is the point of life? What do you think is the point of stand-up comedy?
Whoa.
The point of life, I think, changes depending on what stage of it you're at. You know, I think in the early stages, it's about probably survival. And then it's about proving yourself. And then it's about community. And so I think I'm at the community section of life right now. I'm about my family, my friendships, my stand-up community. I don't feel the burning need to like be the best. I think when I was younger, I wanted to be the best of everybody. And now I just want to be the best comedian I can be. So I think that was a transition for me. So I think the point of comedy is probably to ignore as much as you can everything, except for the voice inside of you that you're trying to get out. And you never, whoa, the lights just went out in here. As I'm talking about the meaning of life. That was a really good effect. And then one light comes from above. I think it's, you know, I think comedy's about like, ignore the negativity, ignore the judgment, including from the audience. And like, you know, truly stand behind everything you say so that if you get a bad crowd and you're not doing well, it doesn't bother you as much because you know that you did your work and you know that like the things you're trying to say, they might be edgy, they might be dirty, but they're things that you believe and you believe are funny and you believe there's merit to communicating them to people. So you see comedians back off when the crowd gives them a little bit of, you know, pressure, and that's a sign that you're not really behind your material enough.
So, oh my God, and thank you for that. You didn't say anything about money. What about being in that state of mind where you just want lots of money?
I think I really, honestly, and again, I said this before, my father paid for college, so I didn't enter the world with college debt, but I, you know, I made my own money from the time I was in high school. And I always worked hard. And I really am a believer that if you make the right choices, the money is always going to be there. And it always has been. Like I've made choices that weren't for the money and ended up making more money because of it so many times. And I think it's about just, I really believe that that stand-up is a meritocracy. I think that if you're good, you will succeed. You know, you will make a living, or you will get to make a very good living if you have talent and you work hard. And you know, just don't ever have a plan B. Don't ever have a day job that competes with your dream in any way. It should be a job you fucking hate and you want to get rid of as soon as possible.
Thank you. If you ever run for president, you have my vote.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Good life.
Mm-hmm. Grab by the pussy.
So we just want to be aware of your time. How will you let us know if
I should roll. I'm on stage in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And when cool. I say stage, a piece of asphalt under a tent in front of folding chairs in the freezing. Yeah.
Bring one of those buckets to stand on.
I know. Look at this. This romantic.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, Greg. Thank you.
All right, thanks for having me.
Doing this.
Thanks for doing this, Brian.
Have a good night.
Take care.
You too.
Bye bye.
Come visit me sometime.